Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to continue talking company results, and this time with brands that many of us are very familiar with. Next time you step into a Debonairs, a Wimpy, and perhaps even a Fisherways, do bear in mind that you would be walking into a restaurant that's owned by a juggernaut of a business listed on the JSE, famous brands. Tonight we take a look at the company's earnings, great dividend, growth, and improved profitability that has come through in the numbers. But to talk us through the secret sauce in their strategy, we joined by Darren Healy, CEO of Famous Brands. Such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. That's very flattering when you talk about our brands like that. Thank you.
Well, whether it's a cup of coffee or a burger, breakfast over the weekend, I guess many of us as South Africans are very, very familiar with your brands as Famous Brands. And maybe just for context, there might be many South Africans who are listening and don't fully understand just the full value chain and the ecosystem that you manage. But it's not just the brands we interface with, it's even the logistics as well as the storage behind the scenes to make sure that every time we want eggs, chips, and even a slice of tomato, that you know we get goods that are properly sourced from South African entities.
Yeah, that is where we're unique versus some others. A lot of people outsource that, but our supply chain has been built up over the years. And really what we try and fundamentally do is we do that to make sure that our franchisees are not distracted. So we always use the philosophy of, you know, that they can lock the back door and rock at the front door. Otherwise, you know, managing your back door in a restaurant can be a time-consuming and costly exercise. Mm. So we take that hassle away from them, and we do it on the principle of same or better quality, price, and service. So we've done that for many years, and it really just helps to, you know, for them to manage their business and to keep that consistency, as you say, which is important. And, you know, quality of product over a long period of time is very, very important. And other suppliers can do that. But we're passionate about what we do in that side of the business.
Well, the passion certainly does come through in the numbers as we take a look at your headline earnings per share up by 11%, even cash generated from operations up by 3%, revenue also in a similar line. I'm intrigued but also impressed, Darren, because whenever we talk about the macroeconomic environment, there's so much pressure, but you found a way of being resilient in managing your margins in this environment. Talk us through a few of the highlights given the numbers.
Look, it has been pressurizing. We have to acknowledge that the consumer's under pressure. Yeah. We've been under pressure. It has very much been around cost control. We have had, you know, a turbulent time in our own business. We've had some, you know, windfall from the slightly lower interest rates. We're having a debt pile and bringing that down. But very much around cost containment. Thankfully, we didn't have load shedding this year, which helped, or certainly for 11 months of the year. So it's been very much around keeping those costs down, looking for efficiencies, particularly in the manufacturing side. And on the leading brand side, which is a key part of our business, is really just, you know, keeping our own costs under control and making sure that the franchisees remain efficient. So yeah, it has been tough. I mean, I think, you know, from our perspective, the revenue growth has been very, very tight. And, you know, really managing to try and, you know, squeeze as much as we can in that period without damaging the business. You know, mm-hmm. We've still spent CapEx. We've done the things that we should be doing. Mm. But yeah, as I said, you know, some of the macros have favored us in terms of things like interest rate and load shedding.
Definitely. Speaking of the CapEx expenditure, I do see in the results you mentioned new restaurants that have been opened, at least 16, if I'm not mistaken, restaurant brands. And of course, improving on the brand footprint. What I am intrigued by, though, and this perhaps gives us some insight into consumers' pockets here, Darren, is your signature brands portfolio. Mythos, Vovotello, and Paul, that's slightly under more pressure than perhaps the more popular brands that we're familiar with. What does this tell us? That South Africans do want to eat out, but we still want to make sure it's affordable versus perhaps the upper end of our spend?
Yeah, look, there's quite a lot in that business, but I mean, the fun dining part that you talk about around Mythos, Turn and Tender, Salsa Lupa, we definitely are feeling pressure there. Nighttime trade generally is not what it used to be. And of course, the food inflation at that level is probably the worst because you've got a lot of finicky ingredients, a lot of imported ingredients, which feel the pressure more. So the pressure on that supply chain has been much harder. And of course, those prices get passed through. So the ticket averages are getting up. But generally, also particularly in the Joburg restaurant scene, we're definitely seeing people not eating out as much or late as at night and then bringing that into daytime occasion. Which does hurt us. If you think about pre-COVID, know, those kind of restaurants were busy till probably midnight. We're not seeing that kind of trade anymore. And we have had the festive season in between, and we also saw that, you know, corporates, as an example, are not as liberal and generous around, you know, Christmas parties or year-end functions. So, you know, a lot of everything, we're still doing comfortably well in that space. But, you know, I think consumers definitely thinking twice about the more bigger ticket spends when they go out.
What I'm keen to take a look at, though, is the split between your revenue, South African operations versus the rest of Africa, the UK and the UAE. Maybe if you can give us an overview of that particular split, but also an understanding of which markets present the greatest promise or most promise.
Yeah, our business is, you know, is predominantly a South African business with a very strong reach into SADC that is really proving to be strong and growing and profitable. You know, on the AME side, which would include the UAE and is actually managed, the UK is managed by the same team. I mean, that is probably more us, you know, future-proofing, growing the business going forward, although we do, you know, we do have some legacy footprints there. And we found that particularly tough. We've had a bit of a setback in the UAE on a franchise model. So the fundamentals are similar. It's not easy to, you know, to grow in those particular markets. We are seeing some positive traction, but it's been more difficult for us, and it's, you know, it's cost us. It's been a profitable business, but that's when it was, you know, merged into one. We've now split it out, and as you can see in the results, it's cost us. So we need to work hard to get that business, certainly at first stage, to a break-even business. But the positive for us is wherever we open, we've just haven't opened, you know, Debonairs Pizza in Egypt recently, and people love the product, and that's really what, you know, what we're trying to do. But we've got to build that into a profitable business, as we've done in the SADC example.
Got you. Every year, it almost seems like there's a theme and a trend to talk about. About a year ago, I probably asked you about elections in South Africa and the GNU. Now we focused on the geopolitics at a global level, especially when we take into account the trade war and tariff dynamics, including the relationship South Africa has with the US. Given your global exposure, what impact could this likely have on your business? And most importantly, what favorable outcomes are you hopeful for on the back of the diplomatic talks in DC this week?
Thankfully, we're not overly exposed as a business. So, I mean, as much as, you know, any change does affect us, we, you know, we're certainly more exposed on the consumer sentiment side. That's what we've seen more than anything else. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily, although as example, you know, the fallout from cuts in, as example, HIV schemes, is hasn't just been in South Africa. We've already seen it in the likes of Zambia, Kenya, where, you know, those offices have been shut down, the money isn't flowing in anymore, and you can see that in consumer spend, because it tends to be, you know, positive money that's coming into the country. So, you know, we're all affected in some way. You know, we can only hope that, you know, we're gonna find a resolution. We're all backing, you know, our president, and know that there is a way forward in this. But yeah, from a business perspective, the biggest impact for us would be on consumer sentiment. You know, I think, you know, we don't know what it'll happen to people's wallets. Fuel prices, an example, is critical in sentiment in South Africa. And I always say, you know, as the Brits talk about the weather every day as a conversation piece, the South Africans, we talk about our currency and about the rand, and we know that these kind of things have an impact and impacts people's psyche. So we really hope that it gets resolved quickly.
Fantastic. We'll leave it there for this evening, Darren. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. We look forward to touching base with you in future, and of course, an overview of the numbers going forward. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks again. Much appreciated, eh?
Thank you. Darren Healy
Oh, great.
Is the CEO of Famous Brands.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.